Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We're continuing our study, looking at the spirit-filled warfare that we are engaged in. We're looking at the armor that we must have on. We must have the whole armor of God on. We need to know how to use the whole armor of God. The truth is, we need to know about and use the armor every day. But unfortunately, we don't always think about it. But it is vital to our spiritual lives. According to verses 10 through 13 in Ephesians 6, the children of God are engaged in a great battle against a relentless enemy. That enemy, we're told in verse 11, is the devil. And he attacks us by using his schemes or his wiles, his methods, his tricks to undermine our faith and to attack the glory of God. God tells us in verses 11, 13, and 14 to stand. Obviously, it's very important to stand if he mentions it three times. Stand means to hold a critical position during a time of enemy attack. Biblical standing is the image of a soldier refusing to yield even one inch of ground to an attacking enemy. It is the image of a soldier on the defensive, protecting the ground that has already been taken from the enemy, not giving up an inch. God has blessed his people by giving us some very special things. We have the truth, we have the church, we have the word of God, we have the grace of God, we have his salvation, we have his blessing. In Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 and 3, you can see all the things that we are in Christ. But the problem is, with most believers, that our enemy, the devil, he doesn't want to have the things that we have given us by the Lord. He doesn't want us to have the things that have been given us by the Lord, and he will do everything in his power to strip all those things away from us. And what he can't take away from us, he will do everything in his power to nullify. If he can't take it away from us, he will try to strip it of its power in our lives. If we would keep what we have in the Lord, we're going to have to stand. And we're going to have to hold the precious ground that we have already been given. If we're going to stand, we must put on the whole armor of God. Brothers and sisters, this is not optional. This is not a game. This is critical to finishing the race that we have begun. We have to put on the whole armor. We've already looked at the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the boots of peace. Now we will look at, well, before I get to the present text about the faith, let me review quickly the three I just mentioned. The belt of truth speaks of a life that's built upon faithfulness to the word of God and to the God of that word. It speaks of us being truth in both our testimony and in our living. This belt of truth gives the believer stability so that we are enabled to stand. The belt of truth also provides a place for the other pieces of armor to rest. Without the belt of truth, the soldier of God will find the other pieces of the armor useless. Unless our lives and testimonies are rooted in and lived out in truth, we will not be able to stand in the evil day. Therefore, stand with the belt of truth on. Secondly, stand with the breastplate of righteousness. That speaks of a holy life. It speaks of a life that is lived in conformity to the Word of God. A holy life is a powerful defense against the attacks of the enemy. When we allow sin to dwell in our lives, we give Satan a quote-unquote beachhead from which he can attack us and exploit us. Ephesians 4:27 tells us this: nor give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him a beachhead. Sin gives Satan the ammunition that he needs to assault the glory of God and to destroy and devastate our testimonies and our reputations. Personal holiness closes the door to Satan, and it protects us from him when he attacks us. Personal holiness. Third, the boots of peace. Speak of our foundation in Jesus. When our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it means that we are saved by grace and we know it. Nothing can change our minds. Satan may try and cause us to doubt, but when we wear the boots of peace, we're sure and secure in our salvation, and we cannot be moved. So, when you know that, you become a hard target for the enemy and his attacks. The boots of peace give us such confidence in what the Lord has done for us that we want others to know about it. So we share the good news of the gospel because we're convinced of the good news of the gospel. So we want to share the news with those who do not know the Lord in the hopes that they will come to know him too. The next piece of armor that we're going to look at now is the shield of faith. The Bible says, above all, take in the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let's see why this piece of armor is so important that the Lord would say that we have it to do this above all. Verse 16 of Ephesians 6, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all. Shields. You must remember the context of when the scripture is being written here. The Roman army is all over Jerusalem, all over Israel. The writers of the scripture see the Roman soldiers. They look at them all the time. They understood the armor that the Roman soldiers wore. The shield that's spoken about in the text was very important to the Roman soldier. There were several kinds of shields in use by the Romans during that time period. Two of those kinds were the most commonly used. One was a small round shield that was secured to the soldier's arm by two leather straps. This shield was used to fight against the thrust of an enemy blade in hand-to-hand combat. This small lightweight shield is not the one referred to here. The word that's used here is thurios. It comes from the word thura, which means door. So the thurios was a large door-shaped shield. These shields were about 4.5 feet high and 2.5 feet wide. The shield was designed to cover the entire body of the soldier. The shield was usually made of a solid piece of wood covered with metal or heavy oiled leather. A man could put his entire body behind it as it absorbed the javelins and arrows of the enemy. In the case of flaming arrows, very often the arrow would snuff itself out as it buried itself in the thickness of the shield. During battles, these great shields would often bristle with smoking arrows like porcupines. The shield was curved along its length to provide some protection to the soldiers' sides. The shields were protected by a leather cover until they were needed for battle. The shield was one of the most important pieces of armor possessed by the Roman soldier. When the Roman soldiers went into battle, those carrying the larger shields marched in the front of the army. They marched side by side with their shields together. The Romans called this a phalanx, or I should say phalanx, P-H-A-L-A-N-X, a phalanx, moving, close formation. When the Romans faced the enemies, the ranks of the soldiers which followed the first rank would raise the shields over their heads. They butt their shields against those of the first rank. With the shields of the first rank, soldiers held side by side, and with the following rows holding their shields over their heads. Therefore, the Romans presented their enemies with an impenetrable barrier. What a picture for the men and women of God, for the children of God. What a picture. Arrows, swords, spears were useless against this Roman phalanx. Any missiles thrown by the enemy would fall harmlessly to the ground. At times, the Romans' phalanx was as much as a mile wide. Could you imagine that? A mile wide, shields just covering the army. What a beautiful picture. If these children of God could just grab hold of it. We're told that believers need a shield. The shield we need is not to be one of iron or leather, though. It's not to be a man-made shield. The shield that we're told to have is called the shield of faith. The faith Paul refers to here is not a quote-unquote body of Christian belief. He's not referring to the doctrines that we believe. He's referring to simple faith in God. This faith refers to the belief in Jesus Christ that brings salvation. It also speaks of our daily faith in Christ that leads to blessing, provision, and strength for our journey. This kind of faith is simple faith in Jesus Christ, walking moment by faith. Simple trust in the Lord that saves us, grounds us, strengthens us, calms us, grows us, establishes us. Simple trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is necessary, non-negotiable component of the Christian life. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall walk by faith. The just shall achieve victories by faith. We can't be saved apart from faith in God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Our entire Christian life, brothers and sisters, is built upon and sustained by a consistent believing that God is and that he blesses those who have faith in him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 6. Brothers and sisters, we must diligently seek him moment by faith. We all live by some form of faith every day we live. We cross bridges that we believe that will support us. You cross the George Washington Bridge, you are believing, and that bridge is going to support you. And you're not going to plunge into the Hudson River. We go through tunnels. Same thing, you go through the Lincoln or the Highland Tunnel. And you believe in that tunnel is not going to collapse over your head and you would be drowned by that Hudson River. You trust electricity. You hit the switch in your house, you believe electricity is coming on. You get in your automobile, you believe it's going to take you where you want to go. You turn the key, you believe it's going to start up. You get on an airplane, you believe it's going up in the air, it's staying up there until you get to your destination and you get off. You get on a ship, you set sail, you believe it's going to stay afloat, that it's not going to sink. You get on a bus, you believe it's going to take you to the spot that you want to get to. And you believe all of those things are safe. The bridges, the tunnels, the automobiles, the airplanes, the jets, the ships, the buses, you believe they're safe. Our faith in those things is well founded, for they have proven themselves over and over. That's why you have faith in those things. You've done it numerous times. Faith in Jesus is far and above the everyday faith that we practice when we climb into our car and head down the road, or when we drive over a bridge. It's far and above the everyday faith that we use for these other things. Our faith is only as good as the object of that faith. Do you realize that? It's not faith in faith, what many faith teachers would have you believe. Our faith is only as good as the object of that faith. It's not faith in your faith. The object of your faith is not to be faith. The object of your faith is supposed to be Jesus Christ. That is the object of our faith. When our faith is in Christ and God the Father, our faith is in someone who cannot fail. Therefore, the faith of the Christian has power because the object of our faith is all-powerful. That's why I'm telling you, it's not faith in faith. That's false doctrine. The object of our faith is an all-powerful God. True Christian faith never fails because the object of our faith never fails. What is the object of your faith? Is it faith in faith? Is it faith in yourself? Or is it faith in God Almighty? Because if the faith is in God Almighty, then you'll never fail. If your faith believes what God says, then you'll have the victory. Sin shall no longer reign there over you. That's either you're going to believe that to be true or not. You believe the object of your faith is God says that sin will not reign over you. That you're dead to sin. And moment by moment, you count that to be true. Because God Almighty said it's true. We need to be sure that our faith is in the Lord, brothers and sisters. There's so much faith, misplaced faith. Faith in faith itself, faith in the person themselves. Our faith is in the Lord. Above all, taking a shield of faith from which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith in God Almighty. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Holy Spirit that he will accomplish what he said he would do. The gospel which saves the souls of all who trust its message. The Lord will be your father to all who reach out to him in faith. The word of God will never fail. The faith of the believer in God is never misplaced, but our faith in him is essential if we want to succeed in our walk with him. And if we want to see our enemy defeated in his efforts to attack and destroy us, brothers and sisters. Where is your faith placed today? Is it faith in faith? Is it faith in yourself? Is it faith in your abilities? Or is it faith in God? Our faith, brothers and sisters, must be in the Lord. I mean, you once again, you believe that the gospel will save the souls of all who trust him. You believe that, don't you? You have to believe that to be a Christian. The Lord says that the shield of faith is necessary. Necessary, first of all, to be saved. And secondly, that is our connection to the Lord by faith. The just shall live by faith. Moment by moment, the just shall live by faith. Question today. Faith in faith? Faith in yourself or faith in God? And my friend, if you would be listening today and you don't have faith, well, I shouldn't say you don't have faith, you do have faith. The question is, where is that faith placed? Is it faith in faith, faith in yourself, or faith in God? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the first act of faith would be, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. See? It's not faith in faith. Faith in yourself, but faith in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Faith in Christ. And brothers and sisters, we must have faith in Christ. Moment by moment.